place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I am your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday to you. You made it. The work week should end for you today. I hope it does. I don't like to hear that people have to work on the weekend. I like to work on the weekend. I normally do, but that just involves watching football and writing about it, so I kind of like doing that, but hopefully you can spend some time away catch up, maybe, on any shows that you missed this week. Looking at you. I'm looking at you, guy, girl, who skipped the State of the Roster Special Teams episode of the show. I didn't not notice here that that was the least listened to episode of the State of the Roster series. You guys didn't want to hear about special teams? I put my heart and soul into that episode for you to talk about the kickers, punters, snappers, returners, the guys covering kicks, the overall importance of it. So I kindly ask you to listen to it. Go back, get yourself familiar with what I think about the Bills' special team situation. If you want to. I'm not making you, but I am a little hurt that it was the least listened to episode of the State of the Roster series. Today, what I want to do is, next week I'm going to do a State of the Roster edition where I kind of go into the coaching staff a little more in depth. But for today, what I wanted to do is take the day and recap some of the newsy stuff that came through over the course of the week that was relevant to the Bills, some different articles that I read throughout the course of the week that I have some takes about, and get into those things. And then next week, I am excited as well as to get into that coaching episode that I talked to you about. But I have a guest. I've secured a guest. I think it's a unique guest that will give us a different type of perspective on the Bills' overall situation. So make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so that you don't miss that. So whatever you listen to the podcast on, if it's whatever it is, Podbean or iTunes, Google Play, hit that subscribe button. All right, so one of the news things that I want to get into was this whole thing with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and this contest over who can throw a football further. Sounds interesting. People love that those guys can launch the football very far down the field. Sure, it would be great ratings. Maybe there's even a charity component of this that makes it even more appealing. Here's the thing. I hope it doesn't happen. I really don't have any interest in Josh Allen in the offseason getting in a competition to launch a football as far as he can. It's great for ratings. It's great for whatever charity they can do. But, like, I'm not interested in putting that type of stress on Josh Allen's arm in the middle of March or February or whatever month we're going to do this in. So, cool idea. Doesn't matter. Who cares? They could both throw the football really far. I'm not getting hung up on this. So as an exciting and interesting as it is, I'm a hard pass on this. And maybe that makes me like the no fun guy or whatever, but I'm just not interested in putting stress on the arm of the franchise quarterback for the Buffalo Bills entering into year two and a season where he missed time with an elbow injury. Yeah, it's pointless to me, guys. Sorry. I'm no fun. Don't really care. What are we going to do? One can throw it 81 yards and one can throw it 79 and it somehow matters and means something? No, not worth the risk. Not even close to worth that risk. So I am a hard no on the whole Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, who can throw a football further competition. All right, the next thing I want to get into is PFF is going through their list, their rankings of the top 101 players from 2018, and there's three Bills on it. There's three. We already mentioned earlier in the week that Micah Hyde was on this list. He came in at number 90, well-deserving of being on this list, obviously. I think he's one of the key players on the Bills' defense, on the number one pass defense in the NFL. He fills multiple roles. He's always where he's supposed to be. He competes at the catch point. He tackles. I mean, he is he's one of the best safeties in the NFL and certainly one of the best players on the team and deserving of being on this list of the top 101 players of 2018. Then there was two more that came along. At 68, Lorenzo Alexander at age 35 is making this list. I mean, how cool was that? I think what probably helped Lorenzo get on this list was kind of what I've talked about multiple times on this podcast, is that the Bills have done a really good job of putting him in situations that take advantage of his strengths. On early downs, they play him an off-ball linebacker and have him play into the line of scrimmage, where his processing skills, where his ability to take on blocks, his ability to finish, his ability to take good angles to the football and rundowns is really accentuated. If they ask him to play in coverage, it's short zones. And so his experience, his savviness of understanding route combinations and feeling routes to his zone and reading the backfield, all of those things really work in his favor when you ask him to cover a short area. And then they had him rush the passer a ton. And so playing on the defensive line, getting in situations where he can get 1v1 versus offensive linemen and create pressure. And so masterful job by this Bills coaching staff. And no, not to take any credit away from Lorenzo Alexander, who deserves a ton of credit for the work that he's put in, for the way that he's extended his career has been able to adapt to tons of different situations throughout his career. But the Bills have done such a good job of obviously preserving him in practice and keeping his workload manageable, but then getting him in the right situations to take advantage of what he can do. I think Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds being fully healthy, you know, I thought it was a big deal for Zoe kind of getting out of his zone a little bit when Milano went down and Zoe had to play more off ball. And so hopefully those guys can be healthy all year long and Lorenzo Alexander can be used in the ways that he was in those first 13 games of the season and continue to help this Bills defense and be one of the best players in the NFL. PFF, they grade every player on every snap in every game. Said he's the 68th best player in the league. That's really good. It's really good. The other guy that made the list, the highest one on the list, number 44, Jerry Hughes. You know, maybe he didn't have like double-digit sacks, but his ability to create pressure was very consistent. And he's one of the guys on the team, probably one of the few guys on the team that I really feel comfortable that can consistently win 1v1. And one thing that I think would help him and make him more effective and make him finish more plays was if the Bills had more consistent pressure elsewhere. If you get that other side defensive end consistently getting pressure, that's gonna make that quarterback unable to flee the pocket and roll out to the right if Jerry Hughes is coming from his left. If there's pressure up the middle, it doesn't give that quarterback a place to step up. And so if the Bills can get a little bit better rushing the passer from other spots, it's going to make Jerry Hughes' sack numbers go up a lot. And so Jerry, a good player already within this situation, but if the players around him can get better, Jerry's going to have more sacks. But, I mean, he's top 50 player in the NFL according to PFF. And coming in at number 44, and, you know, he's getting a little older and he's still very effective. And I think he can have a great season for the Bills next year. Obviously more comfort and familiarity in the scheme. That's one thing with Jerry. Like he's bounced around through schemes a lot. He started with the Colts in a 3-4, came to the Bills, rushed as a 4-3 defensive end, playing as a wide nine under Jim Schwartz. And then Rex Ryan comes in, plays him off the ball, plays him in that 3-4 role. And now he's back in the 4-3 role. It's like, he never was in a situation to really stack seasons in the same system. Even when Rex was there, he's kind of switched back and forth and was doing different things. And so hopefully year number three with Sean McDermott will bring out the best in Jerry Hughes, who's already one of the best players in the NFL. All right, so there you have it. I don't think that there's still 10. I think that PFF has 10 more players to go, and I'm not sure that there's going to be any more Bills on the list in the top 10, but feel good about having at least three in a season where the Bills were 6-10 and didn't really make much of a real playoff push. All right, the next thing I want to get into is ESPN's power rankings. They came out with their initial set of power rankings after the Super Bowl, and the 6-10 Bills were rated at number 29. 32 is Arizona, 31 was Oakland, and 30 was the Jets. 29, the Bills. Certainly the Bills deserve to be above those three teams, but I'm not a homer. I'm very honest with my analysis. I think you've probably learned that over our weeks together here on this podcast. But I can make a pretty strong case that beyond a shadow of a doubt, really, that the Bills should be ahead of at least one, two, three, four, five teams. The Lions, we saw that game. The Bills are better than the Lions. Bills have better personnel, better talent than the Lions, better coaching situation than the Lions. They're at 27. The Jaguars at 26. The 5-11 Jaguars at 26 that currently have Tanner Lee, Cody Kessler, and Blake Bortles as their quarterback. I get their roster's good everywhere, but the bottom line is that roster was in place last year with this crap situation at quarterback, and they finished 5-11, and the Bills beat them. So get your quarterback situation figured out, and then let's talk about why you're better than the Bills. Because right now you're not. They're 26th. At 24, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the 5-11 Bucks ahead of the Bills? Are you kidding? One of the worst defenses in the league? One of the most turnover-prone offenses in the league? No running back situation? Bad offensive line? Better than the Bills right now. Oh, really, ESPN? Okay, Bucks at 24, Bills at 29. No. The Dolphins at 22. The Dolphins. Bringing in a new coach. Tell me who the dudes on that roster are. What, Xavier Howard and who? Rashad Jones, inconsistent. Cam Wake's 105 years old. I don't know. What are we supposed to be afraid of with the Dolphins roster right now? Not right now. Not right now. They got them at 22. Better than the Bills? Nah. Giants at 21. This was the one I was a little bit reluctant to put on the list because I think the Giants do have some talent. I have a lot of questions about that defense. I have a lot of questions about that offensive line. And I have a lot of questions about Eli Manning being able to continue to produce at quarterback. I love their skill guys on offense. But I don't know if you can sit there and say that the Giants who were, they're picking, what are they picking? In the top 10, they're picking 7 or 6 in this draft, had a worse record than the Bills. How do you put them ahead of the Bills right now based on what you know? I don't know. They picked number two the year before. Like, they've been one of the worst teams in the league for the last 2 years. Got them at 21? I don't know. Can't get on board with that. So my big gripes are those five teams. And so I think the Bills should be much higher on this list. They're not one of the bottom five worst teams in the league. And then I put three more teams down that I thought I could make a reasonable case that the Bills were better than, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time getting into it because I don't feel that confident. They have the Redskins at 25. They have the 49ers at 23. And the Broncos came in at number 20. So I'm not sitting here pounding the table saying the Bills should be in the top 20 or the top 15 or anything like that. But putting them behind the Lions, Jaguars, Bucks, and Dolphins right now, I'm not going to lie, guys, that rubbed me the wrong way. All right, let's move on to the next topic I want to get into. Pro Football Focus. I just praised them. Now let's talk about where I think they're a little bit off the rails. They did an article called The Prime NFL Cut Candidates in the 2019 Offseason. They listed 24 players. Among those 24 players, a Bills player, running back, LeSean McCoy. This is what they wrote. McCoy turns 31 this year and is coming off his least effective season as a pro. He carries the third highest cap hit among all running backs in the NFL in 2019. I get that the Bills are hurting for playmakers offensively, but that money could be used to give Josh Allen some protection up front. I don't know where this comes. I mean, why are we talking about McCoy as a cut candidate? The Bills don't need cap space. It's not like they're keeping LeSean McCoy on this roster, and it's at the expense of being able to go after free agents. The Bills aren't great. They got the third most cap space in the league. I don't understand this. If the Bills wanted to move on from LeSean McCoy, they would have traded him before the deadline. Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have been very intentional about talking about how much they want LeSean McCoy for this season. If they cut him and they move on from him, it's not going to be because of his cap figure. They knew his cap figure. The cap space is a great space. They're in great shape. It's not really going to help them. So I don't understand this comment. The Bills wanted to move on from McCoy. They would have done it before now. They would have traded him. They would have got something back from him. I understand there were suitors. No way they keep him and have no intention of cutting him this offseason. Now, I could eat my words and sound like an idiot, but as it stands right now, that's how I feel about it. And like I talked about the other day, hindsight analysis is always easy. Have a take, have good thought process and reasoning behind it. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. And I know I could be wrong about this thing with LeSean McCoy, but everything that we've observed over the last year and actually even 2 years tells us that LeSean McCoy is very much in the plans to be on the Bills next season. I would be very surprised if he was cut. Very, very, very surprised. All right, the last thing I want to get into on today's podcast is this letter that Brandon Bean wrote to the Bills season ticket holders. And I think if you go through it, you can extrapolate a lot of things on here that give you some clues about the Bills' offseason, their approach, what they think of themselves, how they perceive the state of where they are as a franchise. So let's do that. And what I want to do is kind of talk about some of the key pieces of this letter and give you some of my thoughts about it. It starts off, Brandon Bean says, As I walked out of the stadium on December 30th, I had some different thoughts run through my head. Satisfaction from the win that day, yet disappointment with our final record. But mostly, I felt excitement about the opportunity that lies ahead. I don't disagree with that. The Bills were 6-10, but you still felt, for some reason, you felt good about a 6-10 season. Now, that was largely because of the way Josh Allen and the team played after the bye. Well, I guess the Jets game and then in true after the bye, the young pieces on this team. But at the same time, you're like, well, damn, they were 6-10. So I understand kind of the mixed feelings that he mentions there. He goes on to say, the sole focus is to build the Buffalo Bills into a championship contender and help create a culture aimed at long-term success. That is what drives our entire staff here at One Bills Drive. You can definitely see that being the vision. They've been very forward-thinking since the day Sean McDermott took over as head coach, and every move has been made to try to craft a team that can win for a long time. I think that's very evident in everything that they've done that makes you believe that they're trying to build a sustainable winner, even though it came at the expense of some short-term concessions, if you will. He goes on to say, as we regroup from scouting trips to the East, West, and Senior Bowl games, I want to take a moment to share the plan with you moving forward. Yeah, as I said, I was at both this East, West Shrine game. I was at the Senior Bowl. The Bills contingency is as large as anyone's at those events. Brandon Bean is very engaged with practices. He was there at the East West Shrine game on the field. I probably only saw 5 or 6 GMs at the East West Shrine game. One of those is Brandon Bean. Senior Bowl, the entire staff is there. The entire coaching staff and scouting staff is all there. They're very present, very engaged with Senior Bowl activities. So the Bills' scouting presence is very strong. He goes on to say, we have work to do and we know it. Although we were encouraged by our development and growth this year, we certainly have areas of need in all three phases. He noticed, he says, all three phases. Listen to that special teams show that I did yesterday or Thursday. That will speak to that third phase. Defense is good, but we talked about some of the holes. Maybe at cornerback, needing a penetration-style defensive tackle, needing some potential long-term answers at defensive end. So there's the defense is good. It's not set for the long-term offense. We know we got a lot of work to do. He goes on to say, as I've stated, since the day I arrived in Buffalo, we must continue to draft, develop, and sign our own players. We have 10 picks this year, which gives us another great opportunity to add more talent to our foundation. Scouts have been hard at work since last summer evaluating college players. Yes, absolutely. Brandon Bean loves his draft picks. We know that they're going to they've hit on their draft picks very well the last two seasons. And I love that he continues to, even in the offseason ahead where they have a lot of cap space, that they're talking about drafting, developing, and retaining their own players. And so that's how good football teams are built. And Brandon Bean knows that. He continues to reiterate that. And that's proven through what we've seen over the last couple offseasons. He goes on to say, our salary cap situation has improved greatly. It was a strategic move to have so much dead cap space last year in order to put us in a better situation moving forward. We will use that to our advantage. Yes, the Bills had a ton of dead cap space last year. And it's all part of this plan to trim the fat on the roster and be able to set them up for having a consistently sound cap position. And so that, number one, they can fill holes on the roster in free agency, but number two, make sure that there's money at their disposal to sign the good players that they draft, to sign Josh Allen back if he's going to be a franchise quarterback, Deion Dawkins, Matt Milano, Tremaine Edmonds, Trey White. We talked about potentially guys like Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde, if they're going to be guys that get another contract with the Bills, because they'll be still kind of close to their prime by the time that those guys are up. So, they're in good shape, and I trust that Brandon Bean will make sure that that's something we say every offseason, so that the Bills aren't, well, oh, no, we're going to have to cut guys. We're going to have to move on from these players. No, the responsible cap management, it seems to be exactly what they're aiming towards, and exactly why last offseason and last season had to be what it was, paying so much money for players that weren't on the team to trim the fat, to position themselves to be where they're at right now. He then goes on to say, we intend to be active in a free agent market, but we will be calculated with those decisions. I expect that to be true. The Bills, you listen to Brandon Bean last year, talked about their plan, and they had set price limits on every single guy that they were interested in, and they wouldn't go above it, and they wouldn't get anxious. And I thought that was very true. Look at the moves, the players that they brought in. Look at some of the players that they were rumored to be interested in that signed elsewhere. The Bills aren't going to go beyond the value that they think a player has. And so I know the Bills have a lot of cap space, and I'm sure they'll probably be active, but I'm not sure like aggressive is the word to be looked for. Brandon Bean has now put in print, and he said it, that they're going to be calculated. That seems to be the word that he wants Bills fans to take away when considering what they will do this free agency period. He then goes on to say, the previous two draft classes have begun a new foundation of young players on the roster. We're encouraged by the development this far by players like Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds, and Tre'Davious White, and others. Each of them was given an individual plan of improvement at season's end, and they understand that there is a lot of work to do in front of them. We have opportunities to improve our team in the offseason in the Pegulas. Sean McDermott and I are on the same page and determined to bring winning football to the city of Buffalo. Thank you for your loyal dedication to this franchise. Like the close there, again, talking about the young talent on the team, he mentioned that those three players, Allen, Edmonds, and White, but that certainly extends a lot deeper. There are plans in place for these guys to improve, to come back, and continue to evolve their individual skill sets and their roles on the team. There's an exciting young core nucleus of players that are on the roster, and then the Bills, again, 10 draft picks this year, all the cap space. It's going to become an even deeper and more talented roster. And it, like that, he continues to mention here that the ownership, the coaching, and the front office are all on the same page. That's critical. Football teams are not going to succeed if those things aren't true. And so I like the unison there. Maybe you have questions about the direction, different decisions they make, but you have all of that is in one accord, working together to run this organization, and you should feel very good about that as a Bills fan. All right, so I wanted to spend some time getting into that because I thought there was a lot you could extrapolate from it. So I hope that last segment of the podcast today was useful for you and maybe digging deeper into this and getting into my mind a little bit, but then kind of taking away the key themes that I thought Brandon Bean was trying to communicate in that letter. Let's go ahead and wrap it up, guys. Thanks for listening. Hit that subscribe button. Leave that 5-star review. I always appreciate those things. Tell a friend about the podcast. Retweet it. Do something. I all that stuff is really appreciated. I'm having a blast wrapping up another week here as your host of Locked On Bills. Have a good weekend, guys, and I'll talk to you again on Monday.